Hey guys, it's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. This is the first edition of my new podcast. I hope to do interviewing different figures from around Iowa State sports. Doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, you know. I want to get a little bit of wrestling talk, maybe some of the other Olympic sports as we move forward with this. I want to do it every week, every other week, as often as C-Dub is going to let me do it. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Our first episode today, I sat down with some of the brains behind the YMCA Capital City League, the commissioner, Derek Hanna, a couple coaches, Jason Swanson, Ryan Westerkamp, and Paul Pedersen. So they had some really interesting stuff, some really good stories about some of the old figures in Iowa State basketball and the YMCA Cap City League. But before we get to that, I've got to mention our good friends over at Agrigold. You can check them out online at www.agrigold.com. If you're looking for higher yields this season, when you get out there in the fields, then Agrigold is the people to get a hold of. They're gonna get you all set up, and it doesn't matter if it's corn, soybeans, whatever. They'll get you all hooked up, and they're gonna have your yields as high as they've ever been. So, with that said, let's get going. Here's my interview with Derek Hanna, Jason Swanson, Ryan Westerkamp, and Paul Pedersen. What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. I'm on location today for a special podcast. I'm joined by four guests. First, I'll start with Derek Hanna. You're like the commissioner of the YMCA Capital City League, right?
That's one of the hats that I wear. Yeah, I'm the NCAA certified operator or commissioner, or whatever the funnest term is. Yeah.
I'd say commissioner. That's definitely the best one, in my opinion.
It was a David Stern. I guess I can't say that anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. And then also I've got Ryan Westerkamp here.
Yes, that is correct.
How's it going? You guys want to introduce yourselves a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Like you said, Ryan Westerkamp. I work at the Walnut Creek Y, director of youth development. I'd say I'm the operations manager for the Cap City League. I do all the scheduling as far as staff that work the league. I do just a lot of the ins and outs, behind the scenes type of stuff.
And then we have Jason Swanson as well. What's up, man?
Nothing. How's it going?
Good.
I coach a team in the league. I have Renaissance Granite and Quartz. My claim to fame is in 5 years, 4 years, have not won a playoff game. So this year that's going to change. Either that's bad drafting or bad coaching or both. So,
how'd you guys all kind of get involved with Cap City? I guess obviously you work for the YMCA, but...
Well, even before that, I've known Derek for several years or whatever, and so used to go to the games when I first moved to Des Moines, and just wanted to be a part of it. So when he had an opening for coaching position, I said, oh, I'd love to do it, and so I've been doing that. I think this will be my fourth year coaching the league.
Yeah, starting back in 2003, the first summer of the league, Paul Pedersen here, who we'll be talking shortly, was a coach at that time, and I was working part-time in the YMCA, and I was helping out at the first year of games, keeping score, announcing, keeping stats, things like that. Over the years, Troy Skinner, who was running the legal side of the league, was too busy with his family, stepped back from his role, and I stepped up in 2009 to continue the league, make sure that it didn't fade away. Just too cool for the community and for the basketball fans in the area. I think it's also good for the college players and high school players. So, been running it since 2009 and coaching a team.
What about you, Jason?
A lot like Ryan. I knew Derek. I knew him through the Y. And one day I get a random message that says, hey, I got an opening for a coach. I think you'd be great at it. Your kids would love being around it. Why don't you do it? And my first question was, are you sure? And he's like, oh, no, I can help you with the lingo. It'll be fine. It's like, well, I could talk the game. It's not a problem. But are you really sure? And he was, so his faith in me was enough. And so I said, what the heck, let's do it. And here we are.
So, Derek, I heard you mention how you think this is good for college players. And I hear a lot of people kind of criticize the summer league mm-hmm. format. What do you guys think that college guys can kind of get out of the benefit from this?
Well, I think it depends on what school they're with. I think, obviously, the focus of the league with their success recently and their interest in the league in the Hoiberg era is the Iowa State guys. I think it's been a great opportunity for them to get to know their fans and for the fans to get to know them. I think that's how you really build a loyal and diehard fan base. Obviously, Iowa State doesn't need a lot of help with that, but I think it's definitely helped. Over the years, we've gone from 100, 200 fans a night to several nights now at Valley Southwoods having 700, 800 a couple nights when we have visitors come back and play for exhibition games where we have 1,000 to 1,200 people. So mm-hmm. I think they really get to know their fans. They get to take pictures and sign autographs. And that's good for Drake players, too, to build their local fan base. And for the smaller college guys, I think it's a great opportunity to play against superior competition. They get to really test themselves, and a lot of them are able to build confidence, you know, telling themselves, oh, I had 15 points tonight. If I can do that against D1 guys, I should have no problem in my, you know, Truman State mm-hmm. or whatever D2 or JUCO they're playing in.
Definitely. So what's kind of – how does the league come together each year? What are kind of the first steps you guys have to go through to start getting things put together?
Well, the first step every year is to make sure that we have our leaders back. Our leaders are the guys here today that help run the league and also coach the league. And I think that's the strength of our league, really, is the guys that are involved. We have a lot of continuity and consistency in the guys. And that's really where it starts, because the coaches also help out with different things like recruiting players, helping get the word out, things like that. So we always touch base, make sure all the coaches are in. You know, it is a time commitment in the summer. And then we just go from there with facility rentals and making sure, you know, we have a long enough 13 years now where a lot of it's just checking with the contacts that we mm-hmm. have on who delivers what and making sure everybody's in. And we've been really fortunate, knock on wood, that everyone really likes the league, I think, and comes back and delivers the same things most years.
I think the thing that kind of intrigues me about before the season actually starts is what the draft. So do you guys just pile into a room
yes,
and kind of just battle it out?
Oh, there's no battling it out. There's a lot of, oh, how did he get that guy? But no, there's no battling it out. I mean, it's really like you would do a fantasy draft where you go in and it's a snake draft. And mm-hmm. so you have your pick and you know where you fall, and it's just reacting to what other people have done. Paul, who we've purposely kept off the microphone so he can't share all of his knowledge all at once, is he knows a lot more of the small college guys and the high school guys than like I do. So the first year he kept telling me, oh yeah, this guy's good. And then I get him and he's like 4'11" and he's got a wooden leg, and Paul's like, no, really, he's a great kid. No, but I mean, doing a little research in advance, and you know, you can find out a lot about guys just through YouTube and through their college websites and their high school websites and some contacts, and that helps so much, having a little familiarity. And then it's the luck of the draw. Where does it fall and who shows up? And that's about it.
Who's going to have the first? Have you guys already had the draft this year?
Sunday night?
This last Sunday? Or
no, coming up.
Okay, coming up. So who's going to have the first pick this year?
Well, it should be me because I never win any playoff games.
We could actually do that right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If you want.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So we're back. We kind of took a little break, and these guys just got their draft order sorted out now. So Paul Pedersen got the first pick for Hannah Holmes. The defending champion somehow gets the first overall pick in the next draft.
Unbelievable.
And can't see it, but he's doing like the Steph Curry, the little shimmy shake, and he's staring me down as he goes back down the court.
And now Jason got the second pick, so maybe your luck's about to change.
Maybe. The ideal pick is actually the
all
third.
The confidence
the
in
third
the
or fourth pick is the ideal pick,
yeah.
Because then you're right in the middle and you get two quality guys. There's a lot of pressure when you have the number one pick. I mean, we picked George Niang number one year. Great pick, of course, but then you get the 12th guy. And so you never know who the 12th guy is going to be. In our case, it was Cortland Jackson, which was a great pick as well. He turned out to be way better than what we thought. But and I love the guy, but it could be Austin McBeth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For a little context there, we do three rounds of the draft. So we do either last year we did the Drake 12 first. We have six teams, and each team has to have no more than two guys from a given institution on the team per NCAA rules. So this year we're doing the Iowa State round first, so there's 12 of those guys that we'll draft. So each of us will get two. And then so the first pick also gets the last pick since it's snake style. And then we do the Drake round opposite that. So Paul will have the last pick in the first round of the Drake draft. And then we'll redraw names for the open round of the draft, which is for smaller school guys JUCO guys, high school guys, et cetera.
Who's a smaller school guy that came to play and you had no idea, like knew nothing about him, then they just ended up being a baller? Have you ever had anybody like that?
There have been some guys from DMAC definitely. That were pretty good.
Nazioni?
They're pointing at Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Nazioni was so a couple
Nazioni was my roommate's roommate at DMAC. He played
I think
at
you
DMAC.
Might know everybody.
I do know everybody, but yeah.
A lot of Cap City connections. Yeah, he might definitely. Be the new mascot.
Yeah, he definitely
He played
out.
At Simpson. He should turn in an application.
Exactly.
Brandon definitely turned out to be a huge surprise, then went to play at Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
And then great guy, too. He would – the next year, I think I texted him about some of these other DMAC players, and he gave me the scoop on which ones I should pick and which ones I should stay away from. So he definitely enjoyed the league. Was a big surprise. I think won the small school player of the – summer league that year. So
Galat Tuong is obviously a name to look out for. He's played in the league for a few years. Hoover kid, local.
Is he back?
He won high school player of the year last year in high school for the summer league, which the fans vote on, and then also won small school player of the year the very next year as a freshman in college. So he does a lot for a 6'2 guy.
Yeah, Nazioni knocked my roommate's tooth out. I think there was.
This is the kind of hard-hitting journalism.
I think there was adult beverages involved, but
I thought maybe he'd be dunking on him.
Oh no, I'm sure he did that too. But getting back to the draft, so Jason, who's your prime candidate for the number two pick then? Well, what do you want to see?
Well, like I said, you gotta figure out who number one is. Mm-hmm. And
are you going to be working Paul then over the next couple days?
No. I think I know who Paul's going to take. I mean, they're Iowa State is top heavy. They've got some proven players. You got to try to figure out who's going to be around. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Is you know Monte Morris is complete stud, All American, but if he's traveling all summer and can only make it to two games, are you better off having somebody else? I don't want to tip my hand. You know, the third pick guy would get all the intel then.
You had Abdul Nader on your team last year, didn't you?
That's the rumor.
If you can count that.
Oh, he was on the team.
He was on my team. He came to one game in the regular season, and then I think, you know, in hindsight, he was probably sorting out whether he was actually going to stay at Iowa State, but we didn't know that. We just knew he wasn't around. And then he came to the playoff game, and I'll give him credit. He made the observation that we just don't have a lot of chemistry. And I looked at him, he said, probably because I wasn't here all summer, and I'm like, that's pretty much it. But at least it was like he got it. He said it, and then he looked, and he's like, yeah, that's a problem. So I did have Abdul Nader.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Ryan, you got the fourth pick. Is that right?
I do.
Yeah. So what do you say is the they talked about the benefit of having those kind of middle picks. Do you feel like you're in a good spot, or you wish you could played out a different way?
Oh, I mean, I think I'm in a good spot. I know – if a certain player is still around at number four, I know who I'm drafting. And I think everybody else probably here knows who.
He's got a Naz long tattoo on his shoulder. It's kind of embarrassing.
Naz is my guy. I had him my first 2 years that I was coaching. So his freshman or before he was a freshman and then after his freshman year was on my team and just an overall good kid. So, yeah, if I could get him on my team, I already know what to expect from him, at least when it comes
to answer
Cap
your
City
question
League.
With the two pick, I know who
I was
taking.
Just gonna say this seems like a situation that's prime for someone else to take him, and then they try and
Jason's just
get him
bitter
out of
that he's never beaten me in the league before, so
shots fired right there.
I see how it is, and you know, I can't say anything. It's like, okay, I'll just sit here.
And then Derek, you're way at the bottom, kind of.
I'm right in that fifth spot, so I don't get back to back, but I get a late first round pick. That's a tough spot. That's a tough spot. I might be looking at, I might be looking at one of the new guys ISU's bringing in. They have some established studs at the top of the draft. I'm thinking I know the first four picks probably, so I might be looking at, some new Iowa State blood here.
There you go.
Could be exciting.
Definitely. So, I think the thing that I like most about Cap City League, you said it earlier, that the guys get to interact with the fans. And I think you kind of get to see their personalities a little bit more than you ever do, during the actual basketball season. I feel like you guys have run up against some characters in the years you guys have been doing this.
So, Derek, why don't you tell us about Royce White?
Yeah, that's the one I said that will do well no matter what, if you've got a Royce White story.
Do I have a Royce White story?
I think he's only got an hour. So.
Royce is probably the most fun player that I've coached. I had a great relationship with Josh Young when he was at Drake. great presence in our league. One of the godfathers of the league, I think. But Royce is definitely the most entertaining, probably for the fans and for myself. I got him with, I don't know if the public knows this, but I got him with a third pick that year because he was, you know, we didn't know a lot about him. And as we know now, even more than then, a lot of the things you hear about Royce are, you know, the drawbacks to Royce. But when I had him that summer, he came in, introduced himself to the guys, wanted to know about their small school path and what they were interested in doing, which a lot of the D1 guys really don't take the time to converse with the smaller school guys. He asked about the sponsor, ADIO Chiropractic, asked if we could have him out and he'd like to meet him and learn about his business. I mean, Royce is a extremely intelligent, business-minded guy. And when he played that season, he was just a ton of fun, hugely talented, most fun I've had watching somebody live ever. And that counts for Iowa State games during the season too. He came back the next summer and played. He and I had a great relationship. We stayed in touch. I went to his draft party for the Rockets. I think that's another thing that our league really builds. The guys that have coached here for several years in a row are great presences for the YMCA and for the league. They build genuine relationships with the guys, and they're all good role models for the players on the team. Some of them stay in touch depending on if the player is interested in that or not. When Royce came back and played an exhibition game the next year, afterwards, one of the crazier moments in my life, he asked if I could join him in Philadelphia. He had just been traded from the Rockets to the 76ers. So I asked my fiance at that time, well, not quite fiance, soon to be fiance and now wife, if she would allow me that opportunity. She knew it was a great opportunity for me. So I spent a few months in Philadelphia with Royce.
What kind of stuff you do?
I was his, I think driver. He had me there. I drove him
around.
He was
his professional conscience. That was his job.
We had a couple support people there from his, from his past, from Minnesota and things like that. So we all helped him. I think he had me come along just because I was a presence that he trusted. Mm-hmm. He'd gotten to know me. I understood his, his mental health issues and respected the advocacy that he is passionate about for that. So I think he really just kind of trusted me. As far as what my official job title was, I think he would have called me a trainer or a project manager. Mm-hmm. He had some side businesses that he was trying to get off the ground and still is. He has a nonprofit that they opened a mental health institute in Houston. He does a lot of really admirable things for mental health, and I was able to, if nothing else, help him, think about some of those things while also trying to help keep him on the right path for pursuing his MBA career. Not that he really needed that. He's a responsible guy. He doesn't go out. He doesn't, do a lot of the irresponsible things that a lot of players do. But, he's a really misunderstood person. And, I think that I was just someone that understood him.
Definitely. Jason, you had a good Royce White story, didn't you?
I don't know if it was good. I mean, Royce, he had a game where he decided he was going to have 20 assists. And that was his goal for the night was 20 assists. And so I was the scorekeeper. And he makes a pass, and the guy takes three or four dribbles and does like an up and under move and kind of double clutches and scores. And he looks over and he goes, "That's one." And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "No, that's one." I'm like, "No, no, it's not." I said, "No way." He looks at me and he makes a fist and he's like, "In the parking lot." And I'm like, "All right, here we go." Now, I'm not a small guy, but I'm not a Royce guy. I mean, there's a big difference. And then he just gets a big grin on his face like it's the funniest thing ever. And I'm like, well, I knew he wasn't going to get me. But I didn't really want to find out if he was going to get me. But he was.
You gave him the assist. No, in other words, you gave him the assist.
He never saw the official book, but he did not get 20 assists that night.
Were you going to say something? No? No? Okay. So who are some of the other guys that – or what's another good story you guys have got? I mean, I'm sure you got plenty. But
I got
Ryan,
one.
You got one?
Yeah. Well, George is never on my team, but a couple years ago, I had Jordan Johnson, who is from Roosevelt, now plays at Southwestern. It was his first game. We were playing against George or whatever. And I think Jordan got called for a foul that he didn't think was a foul. It wasn't even on George. So they're at the lineup. Jordan's kind of complaining a little bit. And George turns around to the crowd, gives that Michael Jordan, like, shoulder shrug. And, like, who is this guy? Like, and the people that heard it, like, just started busting out laughing because – Jordan's just a high school kid or whatever, but I think George just kept riding him the whole game. And I think I have a picture of that too, but at least I caught it because I was sitting right there on the bench, thought that was pretty funny. But even with that, like, Jordan's one of those guys that came back, and that's what we like about the Iowa State guys. So I had Naz on that team, and Naz just kind of took him under his wing as a young guy. And I think they still, like, I'm guessing probably keep in touch because Jordan's always asking, you know, which Iowa State guys are playing this year or whatever. But, I mean, just listening to George on the court, like, always talking trash, I mean, it's hard not to laugh at some of the things that he does.
Yeah, he's funny.
But...
None of you guys coached George, did you?
I did.
Did you?
I had him. I had him two summers.
Yeah, okay. Derek had him, and I had him, between his sophomore and junior year. When he got started, he got to go to, like, the LeBron camp and all that. So he's, like, sending me a text that says, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to be at the playoffs. It's like, what? Well, I'm going to the LeBron skills camp. It's like, all right. Well, what are you going to say? It's like, okay.
Yeah, George, I had George the summer before his freshman year.
And he was really good then.
We were all got really excited. The whole state got really excited at that time about George. And then I had him before his senior year. So we kind of came full circle, and George and I – get along great. He's a great guy, great representative of everyone he represents.
I would say my son, we were touring Iowa State, and he had played a couple of years on the team. He played at Valley, and he played with George. And so, you know, George has no reason to know him other than a couple of games in the summer. And we walk into one of the dining halls for, you know, we're on our tour of Iowa State. We walk in the dining hall, and Ben comes over. He's got this weird look on his face. It's like, what's up? He goes, I just saw George. He said, hey, Swanee. He's at Iowa State now. So he's closed the deal right there. But it was told you who George was. And Naz was there that day, too, and he came over. But you could see the kind of guys that you had at Iowa State because they made an effort to remember who people were.
And now George is our league's all-time leading scorer.
Is he?
Yeah.
As it should be.
He passed Boo Boo Paulo last year, who passed Josh Young at the end of Boo Boo's run.
Does Sherron Dorsey Walker still have the single game record?
He does. George.
How many points was it again?
67.
67. That's
there was
right.
Not a lot of defense that night, and the commissioner was very upset.
The best game.
There's a lot of transition threes.
In my opinion, Paul and I are the only ones that have been at every year for 13 years. The best game I've seen played in the league was when Josh Young scored 55 points in a playoff game. When everyone was going at it. Summer league, you know, sometimes guys are playing hard on D, sometimes not so much. But in the playoffs, they're all competitive guys, and they all want to win. And he scored 55 despite double teams and everything everyone could do to stop him. It was really cool. And he was on my team, so that,
that always helps.
So, yeah, now we're joined by Paul Pedersen. Paul, we've known each other for almost 5 years now.
Yeah, you were an incoming freshman at Simpson. I feel like the grandfather here watching this freshman going into college, high school senior now, you know, college grad, and actually have a real working job now.
I try at least. it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, though.
No, it doesn't.
Give us a little introduction to yourself.
Yeah, I started with Derek back in 2003 as a bright-eyed. I'd been coaching at middle school here in Des Moines, and I was approached by varsity coaches at a summer league for high schools, and they said, hey, you should join the YMCA Capital City League. They're looking for a coach, and it would really help your development as a coach, getting to work with talented guys at the Division I level. And that first summer was a blast. The second summer was a riot because of all the media, and we'd had an NBA player come into town for that summer. So I was addicted right from the get-go. I'm like many of the guys in this league. We're basketball junkies to a certain degree. We love everything about the sport, and a lot of us have been involved in the community as coaches in addition to being in the Capital City League.
So who was this NBA guy that came in?
Kyle Korver.
Oh, wow, okay.
And we had a summer where we had him and his two brothers, and they never played in the league together. The Capital City League still to this day is the only league all three of them have played together in.
Wow.
It was a fun summer all the way around. The amount of people that came out for the game, the media coverage was berserk. MediaCom covered the playoffs for us.
I remember I was on the mic doing the play-by, or not the play-by-play, but announcing the scores and stuff. And I got to say, had the privilege of saying Korver to Korver to Korver for three.
So how well did he shoot on the high school three-point line then?
Fire.
That's a layup.
let's just say he had a couple games. He had a couple games. He went 22 of 24 from the floor. Mm. And he had a couple threes where he stepped over the half court line. One of them, he was looking at Eric Crawford, who's now an assistant up at UNI, who just was an assistant with Greg McDermott at Iowa State, and you know, stepped over the half court line and let one fly right in the face of Eric Crawford, and was like, "Come and get it, you know, come stop me."
He did. I remember he did do a lot of mid-range. He was working on his – I think he was working on his post-up, his mid-range game, showing off some of his Creighton skills, how he really had handles in the pass. He was good player, great player.
Definitely. So what are some of the other, I guess, some moments that stick out to you guys from – you guys have been doing this a long time. I didn't even realize you'd been doing it that long. But
well, we've had a lot of great players come through the league. A lot of the guys playing in the NBA now we mentioned Kyle Korver, Mike Taylor played, Curtis Stinson, Wes Johnson before he transferred to Syracuse, Craig Brackens, Adam Emenecker, who had a great career and went overseas to play. Harrison Barnes played in the league 3 years.
When he was in high school?
When he was in high school. Great, man. He was – I mean, we
he was
all
a man,
kind of saw
He was
coming.
A man among yep. boys
I think he
coming
saw,
out of high school.
I think he saw his future ahead of him as well. Gabe Knutson and Corey Schaefer went to Waukee and Johnston here locally, and then went to Lehigh. So we were all really excited when Lehigh beat Duke with both of those Cap City League guys on the team. Deontay Garrett, another guy. They've had a lot of guys come through that have been great players. Yuri Hubalik was a fun story that I remember. I think, Paul, were you coaching him that year?
Yeah, I had Yuri for a summer. It was an interesting summer because of – you know, when you look at summertime, you know, guys are working on one or two things they're really wanting to improve. So if somebody needs to take extra jumpers, they're taking them. And really, we've always looked at the end of the year, the team that is winning this league is generally the five guys or the group of guys that you've drafted that decide to play as a team. Mm-hmm. And that summer, Yuri was trying to get up, you know, 600 shots a day. So when he came to a Capital City League game, his 600 shots were included in his game total. So it was interesting being around him because, you know, every one of these guys has a story that they of where they've been, where they're going, where they're at currently. And just to hear him talk about, hey, man, I need to get up more shots because coach says I need to fix my jumper. And okay, that's good, but you know, there's four other guys on the floor that'd like to throw up a shot or two up at the backboard.
You won the title last year, and you mentioned the team coming together. How much did it help having guys like DeAnthony Sanders and like Ray Miller, some of those kind of
he has
vets?
Ray Miller every year.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I mean, you got some of those vets, some guys that played together in the past, and
I get some grief about always having a Hoover player on my team, and I've had a Hoover player on my team 11 of the 13 years I've been in the league. I would say, as Derek and Ryan would probably support, Central Iowa high school basketball is healthy. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of folks that don't follow Central Iowa basketball, whether it's a 1A team here or a 4A team, there are a lot of good players in the city who really find their niche within the Capital City League, and that's what you need. You know, having guys like a DeAnthony and Ray who've played – at a high level, both at Division I and Division II, and then get other experienced high school players that are playing in college. I think of some guys like Teontae Jenkins right now, Jordan Johnson in the past. I'm looking down the list of some of the high school kids that are applying this year.
Terrence Bush,
who just came off a junior college All-American season. So there's a lot of guys that know how to play the game, and having just some guys who have played in this league before, they get what it's about. And you need somebody that can dig in there and do some of the things you need, like digging out rebounds, hustling for loose balls, making that extra pass to give somebody an easy look. That's part of what makes groups come together because, generally speaking, the Iowa State guys, they're matching up on each other. The Drake guys are matching up on each other, and they want to limit their teammate from showing out on them, you know, and scoring at will. So there's some pride there on the court.
Definitely. So, and you mentioned how many good players there are in Central Iowa. I think our state as a whole almost kind of gets a bad rap sometimes for the quality of basketball. And I think that that's wrong, personally. But how much can this league, you know, it can help those guys kind of get a little exposure and show what they can do?
Yeah, I think our D1 programs this past year, having three teams in the NCAA tournament, helped our national view as far as college goes. But obviously a lot of those athletes are from out of the state, mm-hmm. Especially for Iowa State. So what I think what our league does is it really creates a constant – it keeps the energy up over the off season for basketball with guys that are in high school around here. Obviously, Iowa's catching up in their AAU programs and their youth programs on the coast. Obviously, it's been going for a lot longer, so they're going to have a little more continuity there. But I think we definitely have a lot of good institutions around Central Iowa now that have been doing AAU for years, and that's really growing, and that is a big, obviously, probably a bigger reason than Capital City League because they do year-round stuff.
Right.
But I think Capital City League definitely excites those guys. There's guys that, you know, maybe aren't playing right now on their high school team or their small college team, or, you know, they're not getting the minutes they'd want. And they, you know, hopefully, I know a few of them have given us some feedback that, you know, looking forward to the summer league and, you know, getting to play and hit a three over George Niang or post up on, you know, Monte Morris and get a bucket. Those things keep the guys excited and they're ready to, you know, we have, Paul mentioned a few guys that really can step up and compete with the D1 athletes and lock them down on defense. Tiante's a great defender. Terrence Bush had a couple 30-point games. These guys are ready to prove it, and that excitement, I think, is good for the state.
Cool. So when's Cap City League start?
June 15th.
Down at Valley Southwoods?
Valley Southwoods.
Awesome. Is it going to be like Monday? What is it? Monday, Thursday, Friday or something like that?
Wednesdays, Sundays, and every other Friday.
So I'm completely
and it's kinda,
off.
Well, but... it's kind of tough to keep track of. It's kind of tough to keep track of because the 4th of July, we take a few days off so guys can do what they want to do with family and travel and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's a little tough, but June 15th. And then Wednesdays and Sundays, as long as it's not around July 4th, you can count on it. That schedule will be tweeted out by the YCAP City Twitter page and Facebook and things like that.
You guys will have your results of the draft up on there too, right? Sunday night?
Draft is this Sunday. We probably won't have results out until Monday,
okay.
Possibly Tuesday. Sometimes there's some things that we need to iron out as far as we found out a player is not going to be here at all this summer. We need to switch some things around. Mm-hmm. We just try to keep the integrity there with fairness and make it – that's another great thing about our league is the coaches here don't – we obviously want to win, but we're in it for the kids and the students and the student-athletes, and, you know, that's why we – that's why the coaches in the league are the coaches in the league because they've, you know, have a track record of being a good presence for the kids. That's what it's all about.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys, for taking your time out of your Wednesday to talk with me, talk a little bit about some basketball.
Yeah, thanks for coming
awesome.
To the Y.
Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thanks for listening, guys.